It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, folks, it is time for another edition of Valley Edition, and it's our great pleasure to have together for this edition Terry Snyder here in the studio with her friend Bella.
Yeah, with my comfort dog. I need comfort right now during the session.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And Philip on the phone from KTNA. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to be here, Mike.
So we have a number of topics we could begin with. There's one, maybe just as a kickoff, because it involves the area up where you live, Philip, and that is what appears to be a funding of the Denali Visitor Center in the amount of $25 million, with the money sort of taken from a rebuild of the Ferry Tustamina. How do people up there view that Denali Visitor Center, and what do you think about this most recent development?
You know, over the years, there's been some mixed feelings as to the potential of that the Denali Southside Visitor Center. I think a lot of folks are reasonably ambivalent toward it. I know when plans were moving along a lot more quickly a few years ago, there was a little bit of concern that it might pull visitors away from Talkeetna, which is kind of, in a lot of ways, literally the gateway up to Denali, especially for mountain climbers and folks doing flight seeing tours, that kind of thing. But I think that sentiment kind of settled down a little bit, and people aren't as apprehensive about the possibility of a visitor center up there. I haven't heard any direct reaction as to the decision to put that capital project money into it. But yeah, I think there's not as much concern as there used to be.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be is what do we want to give up? Which service do you want to give up in order to have that? I mean, I don't know how many recipients of the 11,000 seniors that are going to be affected by elimination of the senior benefit program that might be affected. And I think it's that's really kind of the missing piece here is we're being, kind of being asked to pick and choose which projects and programs that we want. And until you get the overlay to your own community, what you're sacrificing might not be such a rosy picture on that. And that's something that I think local people haven't had to, I think it's fair to say, and maybe you can chime in, Philip, that local people haven't had too much, haven't had that awareness piece yet about that. Is that fair to say?
I think that's pretty fair to say, yeah. I mean, as far as the governor's proposed budget, I think a lot of people have been kind of trying to drink from the fire hose as far as catching up to all the different cuts. And, yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce meeting here, we had a representative from ATIA, the Alaska Travel Industry Association, and they're actually getting, the state's tourism marketing program is actually getting a bump in their budget. And I think there were a few raised eyebrows in the room when that got said. And that comes from the car rental tax, which is meant to be spent on that. But at the same time, at a time when you have so many state programs, the huge potential cuts to Medicaid and to the base student allocation and, all of these different things that the state normally funds, to hear that things are getting a bump in their budget is, I think it's a little bit unexpected for some folks.
Now, what we have just announced is that members of the House plan to be traveling throughout the state in order to be able to hold hearings and have a chance to have people in local areas speak to issues. We've had some members of the House minority push back against that as an inappropriate expense of money, which seems to be an interesting call when it appears that the governor is going to be doing some traveling to get that as well. Do you have any reaction yet in the Talkeetna area toward welcoming, at least into the Mat-Su, if not directly to Talkeetna, members of the House?
No direct reaction. I do know that Senator Schauer is planning on being in Willow on Saturday. In fact, by the time that we air this on KTNA, he will have already come and gone. I reached out to his office to try to talk to them, but haven't heard back yet. But no, I haven't heard any direct reaction, though I know, you know, in the governor's budget, where he's cut in a lot of departments is really kind of slashed down the travel budget. So it is interesting that now you're going to have the legislature spending some of this money in order to determine whether they should cut the money for travel that they're going to potentially take away in other places.
Yeah, I think the views I've heard have been a little bit mixed too, Philip. I think that, you know, on some regards, I mean, it is not just our legislators that are having to consider whether they come home or not. I think it's been already said that Colleen Sullivan Leonard is not planning on coming back, even though she's a member of the Finance Committee. But a lot of the members of those finance committees don't really get to view our part of the woods other than people that call in, go to the LIO. I know even when you go to Juneau, as you're lucky enough to go there, pretty much it's prioritized visiting by if you're a constituent or not. So having a chance to meet the chair and co-chairs of House Finance that aren't from here, from the Fairbanks area, could be said that it's, and seeing people in person, I think it's pretty well known that we react different than we do over the phone or on the internet, is a pretty big benefit to a community, it would seem to me. But I know there is definitely some mixed give and take on it.
Well, I'd like to switch to one of the three, what I've observed to be the three big issues confronting the legislature. And the first of those is educational funding. And at a hearing on March 14th in the legislature, there was a Senate joint resolution, SJR 9, and it was sponsored by the Senate Majority Leader, Mia Costello, and it would require the governor to file a separate appropriation bill for public education. This would take away some of the uncertainty which has lived with people for many, many years. There's some question of whether that would require a constitutional change, and it would take some time to put into place. But what it did do was surface an interesting situation, at least for this year. And that is that, as we all remember, last year forward funding occurred. So that actually there is a dollar amount and funding number that is in place. Mm-hmm. If the legislature chooses, they could just let that be, unless they actually create a bill of their own, which would then be subject to some veto by the governor. Education has been determined. But they would have to accept that. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting question of what that would happen. Of course, there's been a considerable discussion, once again, from all over the state by school districts that are saying, you know, one of the things that is most difficult to do is to retain teachers. And we have a pink slip situation because as we come up and we don't have funding, obvious, we have to let people go. And the hiring of new people is a costly enterprise. And so there's been a lot of pressure to make sure that if the school district has to determine its budget by a certain time, and that happens to be in statute, then it's important that the legislature do its work prior to that time. Has any discussion about that happened in your area, Philip?
Sorry, I had to turn my mic back on. You know, education and education funding is always one of those things that's going to draw a fair bit of attention whenever it comes up. And it is kind of interesting that, you know, the best method of doing something, or the easiest method, rather, of doing something might literally be to do nothing
right.
In this case. But, you know, whenever you talk about potential cuts to education and potential increases in class size and that sort of thing, that's definitely going to draw a lot of people's attention. I know there's concern about that, but it's another one of those things where I think, you know, on the part of most people, it's hard to keep up with the ins and outs and the various moves that are going on. And so I think, you know, bottom line for a lot of people is they don't want to see bigger class sizes. You know, they don't want to see reduction in programs, as is in this area. You know, thinking of Talkeaton Elementary School specifically, their music and art programs, those are essentially crowdfunded. The PTA raises money for the art and music programs around here, and so the thought of maybe having even less classroom funding is pretty daunting to some folks.
Yeah, not only that, but I think that the state really underestimates the amount of volunteer hours that our communities give, and that that comes at a great benefit too, and especially in those outlying communities, especially Talkeetna is really robust, kind of like Palmer is. People are doing all the kinds of things to support local government and programming and giving lots and lots of time to what they're doing, and I think there should be some allowance for that as well to be calculated into it, that is pretty much underreported.
So speaking of watching what's happening at the legislative level, I have spent, I'm beginning to think, far too much time watching Gavel to Gavel.
I'm with you.
So as we have watched, I have noted that I swoop in and I watch for a while. I am not able to start a committee hearing and listen throughout the entire time.
You're not
time.
Recording the whole session.
No. Well, it's there in the
archive. I know,
it is. Et cetera. But I'm curious, Terry, as you watch, what are some of the highlights of things that have popped up that you have said, aha, I didn't know that, or it confirms something that you had been tending to think as you looked at all of those hearings? And I give you a bit of time to think about that, because I found that I would hear things, that questions being asked, and there was a general impression that I have, and it continues, that still, as we're into day 50-some or whatever of the legislative process, I am not hearing the detail being provided by the administration in particular. I am hearing that legislative support from finance and legal, et cetera, is bringing forth the detail that I would think legislators would need to have in order to make decisions. And the one that comes up, which is one of the other hot topic areas, has to do with PFDs. Mm. And the most recent revelation that came from a legal opinion from the legislators' support staff in the legal arena has to say that the government's and governor's proposal to pay past PFD amounts may run into a problem, because it seems to be a variant of something that was decided to be not kosher back in the Zobel days, when a decision was made to say you can't apply a time and state test to see this kind of thing. Terry, what's your sense?
Boy, there is just so many things, Mike, and a lot of it is I've sort of focused on the Senate Finance Committee and House Finance now that they're up and going, but the subcommittees are really important too. There was an interesting presentation on the state retirement program yesterday, and just some of the cost-cutting measures that they've done in the last couple of years, introducing telehealth and consolidating a lot of their health care costs for a lot of savings, and some plans that they have. And you can certainly know that the past director had some really forward-thinking ideas on that, and I wish more people would have heard of that. Today, the Department of Education invited Abby Hensley to come and talk about the programs that she's part of, and the Best Beginnings program that she's the director of. And I was stunned to hear that up until 2 years ago, any of the books that were sent out for the Dolly Parton program that sends out free thousands and thousands of free books to kiddos for reading under school age, they were able just to go to the post office and pick up if they were returned for sender because they didn't have a good address. And 2 years ago, the government, or the federal government, started telling them in the big cities that they couldn't do that anymore. So those books went to waste. So, I mean, it's just little factoids like that. Several hours of hearings about the ferries and how important the state ferry system is to communities for so many, many things that I don't think, people that aren't on the ferry system don't realize those communities and how important that those are to communities, just for health and that sort of thing. So Yeah, it's there's a lot of minutiae there, and there's a lot of numbers, and you spend a lot of time sitting there saying, oh, why didn't they ask that? But really, if people want the information, it's there. There are documents to download. You know, that there is the presentations that are going to be in front of them of invited testimony, people that they're considering for really important boards to appoint are being questioned by the legislature. So I think it's all pretty fascinating. And I think just one thing every day brings sort of a new thing. I would say probably the least days that there's probably the least amount is probably Friday, because a lot of people go back to their communities. I know today Senate Finance was canceled. I think even House Finance may have been canceled. But and there'll be a flurry of those discussions as we get closer to whatever deadline they meet. But there is really no lack of information if somebody really chooses to go to 360. Our friends at 360 North and either listen to it live in their community or the archives that they're so good about leaving on their website.
And Philip, I know that you're even further away from Juneau, but I'm curious about what topics you may have picked up that people in Talkeetna have been particularly interested in this legislative session, or extending that, what people in Talkeetna have called into some of those hearings to talk about.
Well, first of all, I'm a recovering gavel-to-gavel addict myself, and managed to stay away from it a little bit this session, because it is very easy to just sit there and be glued to it the entire time that you know there's any committee in session, because there's a lot to unpack in every single one of those. As far as folks up here, I think the budget is far and away the most discussed topic, and it's one of those things that, you know, if you tune into one session, then yeah, you start to ask yourself those questions, like, okay, well, what about this? What about this? And you kind of there's many different rabbit holes that you can kind of go down as soon as you start really paying attention. And I think one interesting consequence of, you know, to a lesser extent, the past few years of the legislature, but this particular budget proposal, especially, is people are kind of, you know, starting to really kind of tune in to, okay, what does the state do? Where is this money going? And, you know, and yeah, ultimately people will have to, you know, make some decisions, not directly, but insofar as who they elect next time around, as far as which of those things that they prioritize and what they want to actually see happen. So I think there's, like I said, a lot of people still kind of drinking from the fire hose in a lot of ways, because there's just so much going on, and there always has been. It's just now I think people are a little bit more acutely aware of it when it's potentially going to impact a lot of people directly.
Yeah. Well, last week, Senator Shelley Hughes held a meeting here in Palmer, and at Tuesday night's Palmer City Council meeting, the mayor reflected upon some of the suggestions that were made and commented that the suggestion for a sales tax was not something that she would really support. Palmer, of course, being one of those cities that has its own.
I thought she would support it. She didn't support it? No, she doesn't support sales tax.
Right. Okay. In the sense of, okay, if it were a sales tax that would be controlled by the city of Palmer, charging the state an administrative fee to pay, to send the money to the state, they didn't want the reverse to happen. And there was also an interesting discussion about a place such as Anchorage. So Anchorage could have a sales tax that was statewide and be imposed. And there wouldn't be a difference between Anchorage and the areas just beyond Anchorage. But here in Palmer, it would be adding to an already existing tax. What I thought was important, and that was that a council member, Stu Graham, who's also involved with the
Alaska Municipal League,
the AML.
He wasn't representing him, but
no,
he was
speaking on his own. Yeah. Is that something that I think resonated with me and other people? And basically, he was saying, if you hear someone make a suggestion and you don't think that's good, then the important thing to do is to have a suggestion that you believe would work, and in a positive direction. He wasn't criticizing the mayor necessarily, but he was saying, you know, think about, you could take that to mean, for example, if not sales tax, well, what about an income tax? And I know that I've been hearing more and more people talk about an income tax as being acceptable because it's sort of clean. Mm-hmm. It could be a percentage of the federal tax. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, as opposed to a sales tax, it would, if you have a low income, it would not affect you very much, et cetera. So I'm curious, Philip, in terms of what you're hearing in Talkeetna, alternative forms of income to the state, do you have a sense of where people are, sales tax, income tax, anything else?
As far as Talkeetna proper goes, I think people would hesitate a bit at a sales tax at this point, just because they're, you know, we have one that was relatively recently instituted here last year about this time.
Right.
To help fund the sewer and water system. Now, granted, that's only 3%, but you know, now with the borough looking at a potential pretty substantial budget gap from the school bond debt reimbursement program being potentially zeroed out, you know, now the borough is going to have to potentially look at alternative means of revenue as well. I think there's a lot of different opinions about how the state, you know, whether the state should raise additional revenue. There are definitely a contingent of folks out here who believe that, you know, you hear a lot that the state should, quote, live within its means. And I think in some instances that comes from a position of not really understanding what the actual numbers look like. You know, one of my favorite, one of the most salient moments as far as the state budget and revenue and all that came a few years ago when David Teal was, I think it was before Senate Finance, when the now Governor Dunleavy was Senator Dunleavy, and, you know, said point blank, you could have the entire state government consist of the governor and a pencil, and our, you know, we would still be in the red on the budget just because of the obligations of Health and Social Services and the Department of Education through the BSA. Now, obviously, that's a few years ago. Circumstances have changed. The price of oil has gone back up a bit.
I think it would be the governor with no pencil,
but a red pen. He would probably figure out a way to keep that red pen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're right, Philip. I mean, I think we're still, a lot of people are still stuck on the cut, 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 mm-hmm. which is what a lot of our legislators ran on. No specifics, but just that moniker of cut, cut, cut. And now in layers, they are starting to find out what that means exactly.
Exactly. Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's a sad state that we have a tendency sometimes to vote against our better interest because we haven't felt the pain. But once we start feeling the inflection on our cow gourd, so to speak, then we wake up a little bit and say, oh, not him, but him. So I think that conversation has to be addressed because, some people have said, Senator von Imhoff said, you know, it's a matter of priorities. Well, it is. And there are some people that say, we don't have a budget problem, we have a revenue problem. And I think the cities are wise to say, hey, we want the latitude at some point, if you're going to continue the shift, not just from the state, but the federal government, of us having to pave our own way and live beyond our own means, to have the only ability we have to do that, and that is to have a sales tax or to increase our sales tax. And when you take that tool away from them, and they have the populations that have the most services, that becomes, a bigger rub than they want to be able to deal with.
Right.
Well, we have a short time left, and I want to leave room to talk about brownfields. Mm-hmm. Down here in the Palmer area, as a result of a grant, there's been an effort to identify those areas that have potential for development but may have some cleanup needs to do. And last night, there was a meeting where the planning people that are working this took input from citizens about this whole process. Terry, do you want to maybe say a few words about
it? Well, you interviewed him this morning, Mike. But they've actually presented to the Palmer City Council a couple of times. The borough received in 2016, I believe, a $400,000 grant to work with the EPA on identifying some areas that they could be of assistance in the planning portion, not the implementation, not the actual cleanup so much, as planning for some of these sites with unintended consequences of what was developed there, maybe. And so they have, it's been unclear to me exactly what piece that is, but they have allotted, the borough has allotted, they're the recipient of the grant, some monies to be used for both all the cities, actually, Houston, Wasilla, and Palmer, to be able to utilize that for some planning around those sites. And
and there have been 8 sites located here in the city of Palmer.
Right. But a lot of layers to get through to see whether those are sites that they would.
So that led me to a question, Philip, regarding the Talkeetna area. Mm-hmm. Do you have any brownfields up there? And because it does not seem that Talkeetna is included in this mm-hmm. process.
Yeah, well, they're not a city.
When that funding came through to the borough, I remember that discussion coming up a few years ago, and I am not aware of any. There are some sites that have had, spill issues in the past, that sort of thing. But I know at least in one instance that was handled through the railroad because it was their property their incident, decades ago. But, yeah.
No closed gas stations, fuel places?
Well, there are a couple of places that used to be gas stations that aren't anymore. But I'm not aware of any brownfield programs.
Yeah, I just say that because they showed some examples last night of those being potential areas of it. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll be following it and seeing what happens. In the past, there have been plans that have resulted in significant changes in Palmer. Yeah. Plans don't just go onto the shelf. They actually are implemented very often.
Right.
But we're going to implement the plan to finish on time. And so I want to thank Terry Snyder for coming in. Thank you, Terry.
Glad to be here. Bella, too.
And Bella just been wonderful. Yeah. She's been watching and providing you with the necessary support you need. And Philip, thank you for calling in from Talkeetna and KTNA. Appreciate your input.
Always a pleasure. We're going to have a very busy weekend up here for the USIC. So.
That's right.
Just briefly describe that once again. So
as about 800 people in various levels of seriousness skiing either 25 or 50 kilometers, many of them in costume. So always a good time.
We'll need pictures.
Right. And when does that happen, actually?
High noon on Saturday.
High noon on Saturday. Well, some people will hear this and understand.
Well, we'll need a report on that next week for sure, Philip.
So we'll be back next week for another edition of Valley Edition. Thank you.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.